Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, thus in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. And that revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective, truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain, and so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others. So now we'll continue.
Our topic is Jesus is now here as the Spirit of Truth. This is part 5 of 6. The Urantia Book, paper 181, Final Admonitions and Warnings. Section 1, Last Words of Comfort, paragraph 4. Jesus states, "The Father sent me into this world, but only a few of you have chosen fully to receive me. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, but all men, that's all humans, will not choose to receive this new teacher as the guide and counselor of the soul. But as many as do receive him shall be enlightened, cleansed, and comforted. And this Spirit of Truth will become in them a well of living water springing up into eternal life." Section 2, Farewell Personal Admonitions, paragraph 10. Simon, that's the apostle, Simon Peter. Simon wanted to speak further, but Jesus raised his hand and stopped him, went on to say, "None of my apostles are more sincere and honest at heart than you, but not one of them will be so upset and disheartened as you after my departure. In all of your discouragement, my Spirit shall abide with you, and these, your brethren, will not forsake you. Do not forget what I have taught you regarding the relation of citizenship on earth to sonship in the Father's spiritual kingdom. Ponder well all that I have said to you about rendering to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God that which is God's. Dedicate your life, Simon, to showing how acceptably mortal man may fulfill my injunction concerning the simultaneous recognition of temporal duty to several powers and spiritual service in the brotherhood of the kingdom. If you will be taught by the Spirit of Truth, never will there be conflict between the requirements of citizenship on earth and sonship in heaven, unless the temporal rulers presume to require of you the homage and worship which belong only to God." Paragraph 13, then spoke Matthew, "But Master, who will send us, and how shall we know where to go? Will Andrew show us the way?" And Jesus answered, "No, Levi, Andrew will no longer direct you in the proclamation of the gospel. He will, indeed, continue as your friend and counselor till that day whereon the new teacher comes." That's AD 30. "And then shall the Spirit of Truth lead each of you abroad to labor for the extension of the kingdom. Many changes have come over you since that day at the custom house when you first set out to follow me. But many more must come before you will be able to see the vision of a brotherhood in which Gentile sits along with you in fraternal association. But go on with your urge to win your Jewish brethren until you are fully satisfied, and then turn with power to the Gentiles. One thing you may be certain of, Levi, you have won the confidence and affection of your brethren. They all love you. And then all 10 of them signified their acquiescence to the Master's words. Paragraph 18, Jesus continues here, if your brethren desire to retain you as their counselor, that would be Andrew, I direct that you should, in all matters temporal and spiritual, do your utmost to promote peace and harmony among the various groups of sincere gospel believers. Dedicate the remainder of your life to promoting the practical aspects of brotherly love among your brethren. Be kind to my brothers in the flesh when they come fully to believe this gospel. Manifest loving and impartial devotion to the Greeks in the West and to Abner in the East. Although these, my apostles, are soon going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth, there to proclaim the good news of the salvation of sonship with God, you are to hold them together during the trying time just ahead, that season of intense testing during which you must learn to believe this gospel without my personal presence while you patiently await the arrival of a new teacher, the Spirit of Truth. And that's Jesus here fully in spirit and one with God. God and Jesus are one in spirit. So the Spirit of Truth is a Father-Son union combined spirit of all truth. Some of that's in John chapter 16 and 17. A lot more in the Urantia book here. Reading on, Jesus continues, and so, Andrew, though it may not fall to you to do the great works as seen by men, be content to be the teacher and counselor of those who do such things. Go on with your work on earth to the end, and then shall you continue this ministry in the eternal kingdom. For have I not many times told you that I have other sheep, not of this flock? I add, Jesus' large universe of his creation, named Nebadon, started over 400 billion years ago, and now it has about 6 million human-inhabited planets. It will have 10 million inhabited planets at the end of this first supreme grand universe age. God's cosmos is infinite and eternal. Our astronomers have recently discovered that there are now 2 trillion or more galaxies. Each galaxy, super universe, can have 1 trillion human-inhabited planets in this first grand universe age. The family of God is now infinite, or at least potentially infinite. Of course, God is infinite and even super infinite. Paragraph 24, Jesus states, I have taught you much by word of mouth, and I have lived my life among you. I have done all that can be done to enlighten your minds and liberate your souls. And what you have not been able to get from my teachings and my life, you must now prepare to acquire at the hand of that master of all teachers, actual experience. And in all of this new experience which now awaits you, I will go before you, and the Spirit of Truth shall be with you. Fear not, that which you now fail to comprehend, the new teacher, that's our good Master Jesus here always with us, and within all truth seekers and living truth finders, when he has come, will reveal to you throughout the remainder of your life on earth and on through your training in the eternal ages. Paper 190, Urantia, that means soul, appearances of Jesus. After Jesus was crucified, April 7th, AD 30, and then he resurrected himself easily, just like he resurrected Lazarus, Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and the power to take it up again. That's all in the Bible and more in the Urantia book. Then April 9th, AD 30 was when he resurrected himself. And then he stayed here in a higher soul form for 40 days. And then on May 18th, AD 30, he ascended back to God the Universal Father in Paradise. And that same day, they came down here, the Father-Son union, Spirit of all truth. And he has always been here. God the Father is always one in Jesus. And Jesus is also one in and with God the Holy Spirit, his Holy Creative Spirit mother partner here. So we have the fullness of God here with us at all times, and within all truth seekers and truth lovers. Now we're in paper 190, Urantia Appearances of Jesus, section 2, Jesus' appearance at Bethany, paragraph 6. And David, I believe that's David Zebedee, who was the messenger, and David did not long wait, for the fourth appearance of Jesus to mortal recognition occurred shortly before 2 o'clock in this very home of Martha and Mary, when he appeared visibly before his earthly family and their friends, 20 in all. The Master appeared in the open back door, saying, Peace be upon you. Greetings to those once near me in the flesh, and fellowship for my brothers and sisters in the kingdom of heaven. How could you doubt? Why have you lingered so long before choosing to follow the light of truth with a whole heart? Come, therefore, all of you, into the full fellowship of the Spirit of truth in the Father's kingdom. As they began to recover from the first shock of their amazement and to move toward him as if to embrace him, he vanished from their sight. Of course, in this higher soul form, if they did try to touch Jesus, it would be like going through just air. They wouldn't be able to touch him. Their hands would just go right through him. And that would scare him. So that's why he said in the Bible, "Touch me not, for I am in the form that you do not now comprehend." That's the form we'll have after physical death, will be soul form. Much more real and higher than physical. Then after we ascend through 570 progressively higher soul level heavens in Jesus' created local universe of Nebadon, Jesus will then give us first stage spirit status to go up into the super universe, and then we'll go in higher spirit stages into the 1 billion sphere Havona worlds, or Havona heavens, that surround the nuclear isle of paradise. And after we're probably a trillion years in Havona, we'll then be spirit perfected enough to be eternal paradise residents. But we're still unfinished, because we're not seventh stage spirits. In fact, even after being seventh stage spirit, which is unknown, incomprehensible, cannot be revealed, and then we'll be in the absolute and infinite universe levels without end. So we're eternally growing and amazed at the loving and infinite eternal nature of God the Father, Son, and Spirit. And we'll always be with Jesus. He'll always be our guide and counselor too. It's never-ending ascension. Now we go to section 5, the walk with two brothers. This is on the road to Emmaus. This is a powerful, soul-uplifting, true gospel from Jesus. Or I like to say, Jesus on Jesus. And please share this widely. It's public domain. This is in paper 190, section 5, paragraph 4. As they walked along, Jesus said to them, the two brothers on the road to Emmaus, "How slow you are to comprehend the truth. When you tell me that it is about the teachings and work of this man that you have your discussions, then may I enlighten you, since I am more than familiar with these teachings. Do you not remember that this Jesus always taught that his kingdom was not of this world, and that all men, that's all humans, being the sons of God, should find liberty and freedom in the spiritual joy of the fellowship of the brotherhood of loving service in this new kingdom for the truth of the Heavenly Father's love? Do you not recall how the Son of Man proclaimed the salvation of God for all men, ministering to the sick and afflicted and setting free those who were bound by fear and enslaved by evil? Do you not know that this man of Nazareth told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, be delivered up to his enemies, who would put him to death, and that he would arise on the third day? Have you not been told all this? And have you never read in the scriptures concerning this day of salvation for Jew and Gentile, where it says that in him shall all the families of the earth be blessed, that he will hear the cry of the needy and save the souls of the poor who seek him, that all nations shall call him blessed, that such a deliverer shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, that he will feed the flock like a true shepherd, gathering the lambs in his arms and tenderly carrying them in his bosom, that he will open the eyes of the spiritually blind and bring the prisoners of despair out into full liberty and light, that all who sit in darkness shall see the great light of eternal salvation, that he will bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives of sin, and open up the prison to those who are enslaved by fear and bound by evil, that he will comfort those who mourn, and bestow upon them the joy of salvation in the place of sorrow and heaviness, that he shall be the desire of all nations and the everlasting joy of those who seek righteousness, that this Son of truth and righteousness shall rise upon the world with healing light and saving power, even that he will save his people from their sins, that he will really seek and save those who are lost, that he will not destroy the weak, but minister salvation to all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that those who believe in him shall have eternal life, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and this Spirit of truth shall be in each believer, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you not understand how great was the gospel of the kingdom which this man delivered to you? Do you not perceive how great a salvation has come upon you? That is one of the most powerful paragraphs in the Holy Arantia book. That's the true gospel of Jesus, explained beautifully and powerfully by our Master Jesus Christ. Now we go to paper 191, Appearances to the Apostles and Other Leaders, section 4, the 10th appearance at Philadelphia. Paragraph 3, Jesus states, he's here in his higher soul form, so he can appear and disappear at will. Jesus states, "Peace be upon you. We all know that we have one Father in heaven, and that there is but one gospel of the kingdom, good news of the gift of eternal life, which men receive by faith. As you rejoice in your loyalty to the gospel, pray the Father of truth to shed abroad in your hearts a new and greater love for your brethren. You are to love all men, that's all humans, as I have loved you. You are to serve all men as I have served you. With understanding, sympathy, and brotherly affection, fellowship all your brethren who are dedicated to the proclamation of the good news, whether they be Jew or Gentile, Greek or Roman, Persian or Ethiopian. John, as John the Baptist, proclaimed the kingdom in advance. You have preached the gospel in power. The Greeks already teach the good news, and I am soon to send forth the Spirit of truth into the souls of all these, my brethren, who have so unselfishly dedicated their lives to the enlightenment of their fellows who sit in spiritual darkness. You are all the children of light. Therefore, stumble not into misunderstanding entanglements of mortal suspicion and human intolerance. If you are ennobled by the grace of faith to love unbelievers, should you not also equally love those who are your fellow believers in the far-spreading household of faith? Remember, as you love one another, all men will know that you are my disciples." Now here, everything is man, men, mankind, and that is correct because all humans, whether you're male or female, are equally classified as sons of God. There are male sons of God here, male human sons of God, female human sons of God. The daughters of God are not humans. The daughters of God are the many types of angels. So those are spiritual classifications. So that's why you'll see, you know, female has male in it, feminine, men, her son. Many terms are masculine only. And that's totally proper because females are equally sons of God, the same as males are. And you can't change your sex. Whatever sex you're born with, you have eternally. On paradise, this is interesting. It states that even on paradise, even though we're spiritually perfected and we have beautiful understanding of human nature, men and women will not totally understand each other even in paradise. But they'll love and serve each other and work together better. Even up there in paradise, a male and female spirit in harmony working together is far more effective than two male spirits or two female spirits. And that's true down here. It's very important that the normal family of one man and one woman be maintained if civilization is to progress. If not, you're going to have a terrible collapse and destruction of any civilization that does not do that. We're in a critical time. Because of this critical time, this is good news. We have some very high paradise level super angels here that are working to preserve the normal family. Now, how they do that, I don't know. But they have the power to do that, and it will be done, one way or the other. So don't get too negative about the future, because the future is going to get better. Some people may go kicking and screaming into the future, but the future is going to get better. Now we go to section 5, second appearance to the apostles, paragraph 3. Jesus states, "Peace be upon you. For a full week have I tarried that I might appear again when you were all present to hear once more the commission to go into all the world and preach this gospel of the kingdom. Again I tell you, as the Father sent me into the world, so send I you. As I have revealed the Father, so shall you reveal the divine love, not merely with words, but in your daily living. I send you forth not to love the souls of men, but rather to love men, all humans. Love all humans with all their imperfections and frailties that they have. We're all short of spiritual glory by a large margin. This is our first life here. And this is a confused planet, not our fault. But this planet had a double default starting 200,000 years ago. And even with Jesus coming here, it's not totally, fully recovered yet, but it will be. Reading on, Jesus states, you're not merely to proclaim the joys of heaven, but also to exhibit in your daily experience the spirit realities of the divine life, since you already have eternal life as a gift of God through faith. When you have faith, and faith, I add, is a gift from God the Father, when power from on high, the spirit of truth, has come upon you, you will not hide your light here behind closed doors. You will make known the love and the mercy of God to all mankind. Through fear, you now flee from the facts of a disagreeable experience. But when you shall have been baptized with the spirit of truth, you will bravely and joyously go forth to meet the new experiences of proclaiming the good news of eternal life in the kingdom of God, or you could say in the family of God. You may tarry here and in Galilee for a short season while you recover from the shock of the transition from the false security of the authority of traditionalism to the new order of the authority of facts, truth, and faith in the supreme realities of living experience. Your mission to the world is founded on the fact that I lived a God-revealing life among you, on the truth that you and all other men, all humans, are the sons of God. And that is here and now. All humans are now divinely beloved sons of God. Jesus goes on, and it shall consist in the life which you will live among men, the actual living experience of loving men and serving them, even as I have loved and served you. Let faith reveal your light to the world. Let the revelation of truth open the eyes blinded by tradition. Let your loving service effectively destroy the prejudice engendered by ignorance. By so drawing close to your fellow men in understanding sympathy and with unselfish devotion, you will lead them into a saving knowledge of the Father's love. The Jews have extolled goodness. The Greeks have exalted beauty. The Hindus preach devotion. The faraway ascetics teach reverence. The Romans demand loyalty. But I require of my disciples' life, even a life of loving service for your brothers in the flesh. Section 6, the Alexandrian appearance, that's in Egypt, paragraph 2, Jesus states, peace be upon you, that which my Father sent me into the world to establish belongs not to a race, a nation, nor to a special group of teachers or preachers. This gospel of the kingdom belongs to both Jew and Gentile, to rich and poor, to free and bond, to male and female, even to the little children. You are all to proclaim this gospel of love and truth of the lives which you live in the flesh. You shall love one another with a new and startling affection, even as I have loved you. I want to add here, brotherly love is to love and serve others as you like them to love and serve you. That's brotherly love. But if you love and serve others as you know that God and Jesus has loved and served you, that's higher, that's fatherly love. And with God and Jesus here in spirit, we are called to even dare to and boldly exhibit true fatherly love, much higher than just our brotherly fellowship and love. And when men see that you so love them, when they behold how fervently you serve them, they will perceive that you have been faith fellows of the kingdom of heaven, and they will follow after the spirit of truth, which they see in your lives, to the finding of eternal salvation. We should not just know and believe this truth. We have to live this truth as best we can. Paragraph 3, Jesus states, as the Father sent me into this world, even so now I send you. You are all called to carry the good news to those who sit in darkness. This gospel of the kingdom belongs to all who believe it. It shall not be committed to the custody of mere priests. I add that's ecclesiasticals, temple tycoons. We need to practice the priesthood of all believers in Jesus here with us. That's happening now. There are tens and hundreds of millions of home spiritual fellowship groups, people in the family, and they invite a few friends over, and the groups are small. When the group gets to about 12 to 15, they'll split up into two or three other groups in two or three other homes, and then they'll grow. And this has been going on for many years, especially in the tyrannical dictator countries where they do not allow religion or Christianity, atheistic countries too. You'll see this happening. And I think every show I mention this, in Iran, which is very anti-Christian, they want everybody to be Islamic Muslims. And if they catch you being a Christian there, they'll torture you, kill you, whatever. Good news is Iran is turning rapidly to Christianity because of these secret home spiritual fellowship groups. They don't know. They can't detect them. But they're not able to go out in public and preach the gospel of Jesus, because then they would be captured and killed. But they're quietly bringing people into their home, people they trust. There's a few that get caught, but not too many. So it's just going to be a matter of 10, 20 years, maybe less. Iran is going to be Christian and not run by tyrannical, ecclesiastical dictators of Islam. Now, Islam does have good parts to it. In the Quran, I think it's their spiritual book, there's some beautiful paragraphs about the nature of God. But the arrangement mentioned that it's a great international religion, but it states it's too bad that they mistreated women and that they're too militant. They think they can convert people by attacking and murdering. That's not the way to do it. So that's the drawback. But their love of God is, for the most part, very sincere. But they're confused as to how to apply this with their brothers and sisters. And they think God is one. God has no relations. There can't be a Father, Son, and Spirit. They believe just in the unity of God. And that's true. The Trinity is the unity of God. A lot of Christians don't know that. There's one triune deity Godhead of Father, Son, and Spirit, three personalities. And they're each infinite and eternal, and they're all spirits. The Mormons think that Jesus is still in physical body. No, he's pure spirit. He's an omnipresent spirit throughout all of our local universe, along with omnipresent spirit of his partner, the creative mother spirit, known as the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Those two are fully God to us here in our local universe. The same as if the whole three persons of the Trinity were to come down to rule our local universe of Nebadon, there'd be no change, because Jesus and his partner, the Holy Spirit, are fully equal to as if the whole Trinity were down here. This is the Trinity government of all reality, and Jesus has proved himself by his seven bestowals here, doing the seven combination wills of the three deity persons of the Paradise Trinity. All that's done, so Jesus is no longer just a creator son, he's elevated to a master son, meaning he's fully God to us, along with his co-equal spirit partner, the fullness of God to us. Some of that, I think, will be coming up here later. We covered that in earlier shows. Paragraph 3, Jesus goes on, "As the Father sent me into this world, even so now I send you. You're all called to carry the good news to those who sit in darkness. This gospel of the kingdom belongs to all who believe it. It shall not be committed to the custody of mere priests." Okay, I covered that. Practice the priesthood of all believers in Jesus here with us. I covered that. "Soon will the Spirit of truth come upon you, and he shall lead you into all truth. Go ye therefore into all the world preaching this gospel, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." Paper 193, Final Appearances and Ascension. Jesus made 19 appearances here in soul form to probably around 1,000 people. And this is the introduction, paragraph 5. Jesus states, "Among yourselves here, you share the knowledge that I have risen from the dead. That is not strange. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. The Father gives such power to his paradise sons. You should the rather be stirred in your hearts by the knowledge that the dead of an age entered upon the eternal ascent soon after I left Joseph's new tomb." Bless everybody from Adam and Eve bestowal 38,000 years ago until Jesus came about 2,000 years ago, So that's about 36,000 years. Some of those persons are resurrected real rapidly in 3 days, a 3-day travel time for a transport seraphim to take our souls up to the higher heaven. But some might have rested for up to 36,000 years. But Jesus, actually, when he returned here in power as the Father, Son, Union, Spirit of Truth, he gave a complete dispensational resurrection. So all those sleeping humans were resurrected. Now, the good news, there is no death. Jesus teaches this. We live here in the physical body, and then a physical death, we don't know about physical death because your mind shuts down. And when the mind shuts down, there's no sense of time duration. There's no thought at all. So you're alive, and bam, you're alive in a higher form. There is no delay from being alive here to being alive in the next higher soul level mansion world. But if it takes 3 days, or if it takes 3,000 or 30,000 years, it doesn't matter. You're alive and you're alive. You are aware of zero death. Remember that. There is no awareness of death. That's very real and very spiritual. Think about it some. Now we go on. Jesus continues, I live my life in the flesh to show how you can, through loving service, become God-revealing to your fellow man, even as, by loving you and serving you, I have become God-revealing to you. I have lived among you as the Son of Man, that you and all other men might know that you are all indeed the sons of God. That's what the world needs to know, that each human being is now a divinely beloved Son of God, in Jesus and in spirit. They need to realize that. Reading on, Jesus says, therefore, go ye now into all the world, preaching this gospel of the kingdom of heaven to all men. Love all men as I have loved you. Serve your fellow mortals as I have served you. Freely you have received, freely give. Only tarry here in Jerusalem while I go to the Father, and until I send you the Spirit of truth. He shall lead you into the enlarged truth, and I will go with you into all the world. I am with you always, and my peace I leave with you. Amen. Section 2, the Phoenician appearance, paragraph 2, Jesus states, peace be upon you. You rejoice to know that the Son of Man has risen from the dead, because you thereby know that you and your brethren shall also survive mortal death. But such survival is dependent on your having been previously born for the spirit of truth-seeking and God-finding. The bread of life and the water thereof are given only to those who hunger for truth and thirst for righteousness, for God. The fact that the dead rise is not the gospel of the kingdom. These great truths and these universe facts are all related to this gospel, and that they are a part of the result of believing the good news and are embraced in the subsequent experience of those who, by faith, become, in deed and in truth, the everlasting sons of the eternal God. My Father sent me into the world to proclaim this salvation, a sonship to all men. And so send I you abroad to preach this salvation of sonship. Salvation is a free gift of God. But those who are born of the Spirit will immediately begin to show forth the fruits of the Spirit in loving service to their fellow creatures. And the fruits of the divine Spirit, which are yielded in the lives of Spirit-born and God-knowing mortals are, now these are very important. Loving service, unselfish devotion, courageous loyalty, sincere fairness, enlightened honesty, undying hope, confiding trust, merciful ministry, unfailing goodness, forgiving tolerance, and enduring peace. And if you want to write those down, you can back up the track here a little bit on the podcast and listen again and write those down. Very important. If professed believers bear not these fruits of the divine spirit in their lives, they are dead. The spirit of truth is not in them. They are useless branches on the living vine, and they soon will be taken away. Of course, there's no hellfire and damnation. God is love and not vengeance and burning people. God is just as loving as Jesus Christ is. They are one in spirit. But people who do not want to have eternal ascension into knowing and doing God's will, going from glory to glory higher and higher, if they really reject that, then in their future eternal judgment decision point, which I believe is later one of the higher soul heavens, not necessarily down here. But some people have already made the eternal decision. They love God and they seek Him. They're sure they know eternal life right now in this first life. But those who reject it are given a lot of training and mercy up in the next soul level heavens. But if they still refuse to accept the mercy and forgiveness of God and are not interested in God and His beautiful plans, which include service to others, then they would just be painlessly, instantly extinguished as if they never were. As to be an eternal ascending Son of God in Jesus and in spirit, or to be not, to be or to be not. There's no burning hellfire, and there's no blood sacrifice. Jesus is not a sacrificial lamb. That old Jewish thought that there's no forgiveness of sin by God unless there's blood and torture, that's all wrong. But some Christians, they run out, "Oh, I'm saved by the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for bleeding and dying and being tortured for me. Oh, so wonderful." No, that's blasphemy to the loving nature of God. They're innocent. They don't know it. They're just taught that by stupid theologians. Theologians know better. They know the atonement is false, but they're afraid to preach it. Because a lot of the members in the church are old people, the rich people in the church are older, and they were taught all that when they were younger, and they don't want to hear anything different. And so they would rather get the money flowing than to teach the truth. I've talked in private to many ministers, and they know that. They know the higher truths in seminary. A lot of the ministers are actually reading the Arrangement Book now, but they're afraid to rock the boat. They're afraid to proclaim the higher truth, which the world needs. So now the churches are in crisis. A lot of, in Europe, there are very few churches left in Europe. More people gave up on that, controlled by priests and ecclesiasticals. And they want spiritual liberty. They're not getting it in the church. So we're in a transition period. But if all the churches die, true Christianity is coming on strong. You got all these private, individual, personal religionists, Christian fellowship groups and homes, and that cannot be stopped. Churches are optional. It's a social grouping. Now, if you have children, it's probably best to have the children go to Sunday school and play with kids their age. That's all good. But as far as getting truth, let's get our truth directly from Jesus here in spirit and not from some ecclesiastical up and out who talks about the down and out laity. We're the ecclesiastical uppers, and then the laity of the lower people. But they're up and out instead of down and out. Bad news. Some are seeing the light, though. It's not all negative. I've visited with my wife in over 100 churches over about a 20-year period. There was one or two churches that was pretty close to the truth, very advanced. That's rare. Section 3, last appearance in Jerusalem. Paragraph 2, Jesus states, "Peace be upon you. I've asked you to tarry here in Jerusalem until I send to the Father, even until I send you the Spirit of truth, who shall soon be poured out upon all flesh, and who shall endow you with power from on high." And the Spirit of truth, Jesus came back here May 18th, AD 30 on. That's Pentecost. But this is a every minute, every day, eternal truth, and not celebrate just Pentecost once a year. Jesus is always here with us. Reading on, Simon Zelotes. When I said Simon Peter, I think that might have been Simon Zelotes in an earlier paragraph I read. Simon Zelotes interrupted Jesus, asking, "Then, Master, will you restore the kingdom? Will you see the glory of God manifested on earth?" When Jesus had listened to Simon's question, he answered, "Simon, you still cling to your old ideas about the Jewish Messiah and the material kingdom, but you will receive spiritual power after the Spirit has descended upon you. You will presently go into all the world preaching this gospel of the kingdom. As the Father sent me into the world, so do I send you, and I wish that you would love and trust one another. Judas is no more with you because his love grew cold and because he refused to trust you, his loyal brethren. Have you not read in the scripture where it is written, 'It is not good for man to be alone. No man lives of himself.' And also where it says, quote, He who would have friends must show himself friendly, unquote. And did I not even send you out to teach two and two, that you might not become lonely and fall into the mischief and miseries of isolation? You also well know that, when I was in the flesh, I did not permit myself to be alone for long periods. From the very beginning of our associations, I always had two or three of you constantly by my side, or else very near at hand, even when I communed with the Father. Trust, therefore, and confide in one another. This is all the more needful, since I am this day going to leave you alone in the world. The hour has come. I am about to go to the Father. Section 5, The Master's Ascension. Paragraph 2. He thus states, I bade you tarry in Jerusalem until you were endowed with power from on high. I am now about to take leave of you. I am about to ascend to my Father, and soon, very soon, that was, I think, in about 5 hours. It was done instantaneously, but it was maybe 3 to 5 hours of registration on Garrison or Salvington up in our local universe. But as it goes down in the time and space, some of those people have to, you know, think and work in time and space and record or whatever. So there was maybe 5 hours down here on this lower level that Jesus did for some of these agents of God to do the recording of all those transactions. Otherwise, it would have been instantaneous. Very soon, we will send into this world of my sojourn the Spirit of Truth. When He has come, you will begin the new proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, first in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Love men with the love wherewith I have loved you, to serve your fellow mortals even as I have served you. That's the call for fatherly love. By the Spirit fruits of your lives impel souls to believe the truth that man is a son of God and that all men are brethren. We have to prove that by loving everybody, even the people we can't stand right now. If we really tried to love them, this world would be transformed at a very rapid rate. True love is very contagious. Divine virus of love is mentioned in one part of the Sirantia book. Remember all I have taught you and the life I have lived among you. My love overshadows you. My spirit will dwell with you, and my peace shall abide upon you. Farewell. So we need to invite Jesus into our souls and minds to receive these spirit gifts. They're always available. The door is wide open. So this ends part 5 of this podcast, and in a week or two, I will do part 6 of 6. Jesus said farewell, and rather than saying farewell, that means goodbye, I say farewell in the ongoing eternal sense. ¶¶